I'm gonna show you a sign if I could. It's just a simple sign. And what does it say? Yeah, see, at first it's God is nowhere. Yeah, if you look really closely though, maybe it says God is now here. Just now you're seeing it, huh? That took a while. See, you can choose what you see if you look long enough, and you can choose what you'll remember if you think right.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Pastor Wayne has a message that will show us the importance of stewarding our freedom well, of remembering the sacrifices made by those who have gone before, and of being more thankful for all we have been given. It's a message entitled, How to Honor Those Who Have Gone Before Us, and that'll be coming up in just a few minutes. But first, we invite you to join the people of New Hope in a time of worship. Here is Pastor Wayne to open the service.
Would you open your hearts and let's worship and thank and give gratitude to the King of Kings, the one who loves us the most. Would you welcome the majestic one? Lord, how majestic your name is. We worship you. Here we go. Come on.
Lord, you are so majestic.
Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The heavens declare your greatness. The oceans cry out to you. The mountains, they bow down before you.
Creation,
glory to the Lord on high. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, cause you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy.
Lord of heaven and earth,
as Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, How to Honor Those Who Have Gone Before Us.
Would you write down number one? Would you write it? And this comes right out of Hebrews 12. It says this, lay aside any behavior that will distract you from God's best. You got to cull that. Intentionally put it aside. Scrape it off. You've got to forget it. You got to remove it. And it's going to be an intentional thing because it's like barnacles on a ship that want old bad memories that want to attach themselves to the hull of your boat. And it'll wear you down. It'll burden you down. And the traction will be greater and it'll wear you out. You ever been worn down so much so that you want to give up? How many of you have been worn down to the point you want to just give up? Yeah. Let me tell you, that's not good, but let me tell you something that's worse. You're worn down so much that you want to not give up, but give in. To what? To sin. So, well, if that's how she's going to act, I'm just going to do this with this lady over here then. Well, if that's how he's going to be, I'm just going to go with this guy. Well, if that's the way they're going to act, I'm just going to bail out. Of what? My calling, my commitment, my loyalty. Wait a minute. See, sometimes the enemy wants to burden you and wear you down because of the weight, and it's causing you the friction of your life against other situations, other people. just wears you out to the point where you want to just not give up, but give in to something that you know is not right. It's not what God's asked you to do. It's like Jonah saying, well, I forget it. I'm not going there. I'm just going to go the other way. And actually go the other way. So God is saying, be careful because it'll wear you out. In fact, that's the enemy's desire, is to wear you down. So the point where you're vulnerable, you're raw, hypersensitive. Because if you get a sandpaper and rub your skin, it's very sensitive. And a lot of times, because we're worn down and we haven't been careful to maintain our hearts and keep all these barnacles off, it's worn you down because of the weight and the burden, and it's pressed you in. And now you're hypersensitive. So when someone says a joke, why did you do that? Why did you say that about me? And we personalize everything, and it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. And it becomes a downward spiral. And yet we'll blame others, but it's really us, because we haven't been maintaining our heart. We've allowed wrong memories, wrong things, wrong experiences to be brought up again and again and again. Remember this, your mind is like a bank, only in the opposite. For example, memory, just think of it as a memory bank, but it works exactly the opposite of a regular bank. See, in a regular bank, you put money in. If you leave it and don't touch it, it gains an interest. If you start withdrawing it, it depletes it. Now, your mind is exactly the other way around. When you have memories in your mind, if you withdraw the memories and think about it and kind of talk about it and visit it again and again, you keep withdrawing these memories, it actually increases in strength. If you don't withdraw it, it actually depletes. So it's sort of like a language. If you learn Spanish long ago or Japanese, but you never withdraw the vocabulary, you never use it, after a while, what happens to the memory of those vocabulary words? Gone. Even when you try to remember, you can't, because you haven't been making constant, consistent withdrawals. On the other hand, if you're constantly withdrawing or using that language, what does it do? It becomes stronger in you. See, that's just how God made us. So the same is with our mind. And so God is saying, you lay aside the stuff that are like barnacles that gather around your heart. If not, it's going to burden you down. And as you go through, it's going to wear you out. It's like putting excess amount of weight on a chassis that's not designed for that, and then it breaks it. I remember when Amy had this little tricycle, and it was a little plastic tricycle, and so Anna had purchased it, and I thought, oh, this is cool. So I got on the thing, and it, bang, it broke it. First time, I thought, oh, junk tricycle. But it wasn't designed for this pig. So I had to get her another one. But let's read what it says in Daniel 7:25. Go. He will speak out against the Most High. Here it is. And wear down the saints of the Highest One. We've got to keep culling our heart to keep it pure. And that's a maintenance thing. In fact, would you write it down here in the first bullet? It honors those who have gone before us if our hearts are pure. Constantly purifying, getting rid of that stuff. In fact, he says in 2 Timothy 1:3, let's read it, go. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did. You can choose what's going to be hidden in your heart. Memories that'll either inspire you or will depress you. Not remember everything. Remember well. Let me tell you about one of the kindest men I think I've ever met. He was from Holland. His name was Klaus Van Asselt. And he was completely bald. I mean, not only bald, he had no hair anywhere. He had no eyebrows, no eyelashes, no hair on his arm, nothing. And I said, well, one day, how did that happen? I said, how come you don't have any hair at all? Well, he talked about the numbers that they would tattoo on their arms in the concentration camps. And because he was trying to help some people, as a Dutch, he was actually taken to a concentration camp. And he said, this is what they did. And I don't know if they were trying to test his mental capabilities, because they would actually run different tests on people there in the concentration camps, like guinea pigs, using them as guinea pigs. But to see how much a mind can hold, I don't know. But they would say to him, tomorrow we're going to execute all of you in this cell. And so that night they couldn't sleep. The next morning they said, oh, we postponed it till next week. So, oh my. And then the next week would come and they'd say, okay, we're going to execute you tomorrow. And then the next morning would come and they'd say, no, we're going to wait another week. And they would do this again and again. He said, after a while, I just wanted them to shoot me, because the stress of what they were putting us through was far greater than just having a bullet in my head. Well, he said the stress was so great after a while, all of his hair started to fall out. Well, later on, he actually escaped from one of these camps and got married to his wife, Brunhilde. And they both had a heavy Eastern European accent, but they were the kindest people. It was shown in the fact that because he couldn't have any children, it may have just been all of the stress of all of this, that the first child they adopted was a Hispanic orphan, and then the second one was a Down syndrome girl. And they intentionally adopted these children. But you know, we would have dinner with them and talk to them, and not a shred of bitterness from their past. Not at all. But they were just so kind and always talking to me about how to serve the Lord and how wonderful it is to have the freedoms of Christ and to be in America. And I thought, man, they would teach me so much. So much I learned from them about memories and what to remember and what not to remember. I remember when we called her Bruni, when Bruni was, they were both very old, about 80-some years old, and she was in the hospital in the last throes of her life, dying, and Klaus asked me to come up and to see her just before she died. And I remember driving there thinking, I've got to have some scripture. I was a Bible college kid, and I was thinking, I've got to have some scripture to inspire her. I thought, oh, I don't have any, except, you know, the really elementary one that everybody knows, Romans 8:28, God works all things together for good. And then I'm thinking, I can't say this to a Holocaust survivor, God works everything together for good. But that's really dumb. I've got to get a better one than that. And I remember thinking, I am such a sham. I am worthless. I'm dumb. I don't even have a scripture for this woman, and she's dying, except Romans 8:28. I remember going into the lobby of the hospital, shaking my head, thinking, gosh, I don't know what to say. I went up to her room and her eyes were closed. And I stood next to the gurney that she was on. I just didn't know what to say. Slowly, she opened her eyes. She said, how are you, Wayne? I said, not good. She said, it's all right. I said, God works all things together for good. Well, the Lord's taken them both home since then, but you know what? I've remembered something about the lessons that these two inspiring people have taught me. And that is that we can choose what we will remember. We can choose what we forget. And I thought, these people are just absolutely amazing. I will never forget them. I will always remember them. I'm going to show you a sign, if I could. And it's just a simple sign. And what does it say? Yeah, if you look really closely, though. Yeah, see, at first, it's God is nowhere. But then if you keep looking at it, you can say, maybe it says God is now here. Just now you're seeing it, huh? That took a while. You're going to forget it in a second anyway, but no. But you see, sometimes, like Bruni and Klaus, sometimes we see things and we say, God is nowhere. But they said, no, God is now here. See, you can choose what you see if you look long enough, and you can choose what you'll remember if you think right. And so we've got to remember that God isn't teaching us to remember everything. He's teaching us to remember correctly.
correctly and remember well. You got to think about it. Even God has selective memory. Do you know that? Yeah, he does. There's a guy that had actually done something terrible, and he'd asked God for forgiveness, but he didn't feel like there was any forgiveness. He felt worthless. He felt demeaned, and he just felt terrible and dirty. Well, years went by, and he got a job, this place where this fanatic woman worked. And she'd always be talking about God and singing hymns and saying, oh, God spoke to me this morning in my devotions, and you should hear what God said to me yesterday in my devotions. And oh, God speaks to me. And he says, oh, God doesn't talk to you. He says, if he does, you're mental. And she said, no, God speaks to me all the time. He said, well, I used to go to church, but I don't anymore. Something happened. She said, well, you know, God is a great God. And God said this to me this morning. And she gives him a scripture. And he's getting tired, so he's going to test her. He says, well, I'll tell you what. You talk to God every morning? Yes, I do. Talk to him tomorrow morning and tell him what he thinks about what happened 5 years ago in March. She said, oh, okay. Yeah, see if he talks to you about it. Well, the next day she came back to work, and he went up to her and questioned her and said, well, did you talk to God this morning? She said, I did. Did he talk to you? Yeah, he did. Did you ask him about 5 years ago? She said, you know, I did. Well, what did God say? God said, he can't remember. You see, that's what the Bible says. When we confess our sins, we might not feel like we're forgiven, but if we will be honest and genuine and truthful to confess our sins, he'll be faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And here's what it says. If you confess your sins, he will remove as far as the east is from the west our sins from us, and he will throw it into the sea of forgetfulness and remember them no more. You see, God doesn't remember everything. He is choosing to not remember certain things, not withdraw them. And the same is true with you and me. You see, it's just like when we used to get those old photo albums, you get a stack of pictures. You put all the pictures in your photo album? No. You go through them, and if there's any one that makes you look fat, boom, that thing is gone. Is that right? First thing, gone. Fat, no fat pictures in this thing. And the others, if you're just putting food in your mouth, boom, boom, that thing's gone. If you look a little ugly, boom, that's gone. So out of 50 pictures, you end up with 3. And the only ones that you put in makes you look like an American Idol or Baywatch babe or something, then you put that in. Why? Because when you go to your photo album, you want it to bring back what kind of memories? Yeah, you don't take the ugliest ones. Ooh, I look fat. Yeah, put that one right here. Oh, put that one right there. Well, that's nice. Nice. Oh, yeah, put that one right there. Nobody does that. But we do that here with something much more important than a photo album. And God is saying, remember well. Remember well. Otherwise, we'll start to remember what we should have forgotten, and we'll forget what we should have remembered. Here's something that Claus Van Assel taught me, and I'll never forget. And would you write down a number 2? To learn to be thankful for the good and for the bad. Learn to be thankful for the good and for the bad.
Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name.
You have just heard part 2 of a message entitled, How to Honor Those Who Have Gone Before Us, by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast.
Somebody a hug on your way out, would you?
Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.